Shalom! I'm Eddie Chumney, Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to this week's Yeshiva Teaching. The weekly Yeshiva Teaching is free, and we would encourage you to make it available to all your friends and family. You can receive it by going to the ministry's website, www.hebroots.org, and click on the link, Eddie's Weekly Yeshiva Teaching. The teaching is in MP3 format, and you can subscribe to receive it through an RSS feed where it will be automatically downloaded to your iTunes, and from there you could transfer it to your iPod and your iPhone. You can listen to the teaching at the ministry's website, or you can download it to your computer and listen at your convenience. The purpose of the teaching is to help you to be rooted and grounded in understanding the Hebraic roots of Christianity. When we're studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity, we must keep everything centered on Yeshua the Messiah. That is because it is written in Psalm chapter 40, verse 7, "Then said I, Lo I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me." That verse is quoted of Yeshua in Hebrews in chapter 10 in verse 7. Yeshua himself stated that the Hebrew scriptures, including the Torah, is written of him. In Luke chapter 24 verse 44, he said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And understanding how the Torah is written of Yeshua, we need to know that it was Yeshua who gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And by cross-referencing several verses in the New Testament regarding Yeshua, we can easily see how this is so. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, it is written, "And she," that is Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name," in Hebrew, Yeshua, which means salvation. Why is the Savior of the world and the Savior of Israel, why is his name salvation? Because the verse goes on to say, "He will save his people from their sins." Then, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, it is written, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So Yeshua saves us from our sins, and Yeshua is our Savior. By understanding these things, now we can look at James in chapter 4 in verse 12. In the first part of the verse, it is written, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save." The one that is able to save, who is Yeshua, because he saves his people from their sins and he is our Savior, he is also the lawgiver, or the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. In this session, we are going to look at the subject of grace and mercy and see how it relates to following the Torah. When most Christians hear the word Torah, they automatically have it in their minds that they go into a thought process or a discussion regarding the way in which we are saved. And the Bible is clear that we are saved by grace through faith, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And it's not based upon our own deeds, our own merit, our own good works, apart from the redemptive work of Yeshua. And that being the case, given that most Christians, when they hear the word Torah, they start thinking about how we are saved rather than what sin is and how we live our lives, we need to realize the meaning of two critical words in the Bible. And the first is Torah, and the second is the name of the Messiah, and that is Yeshua. Torah comes from the Strong's word 8451 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, and it is associated and related to the Hebrew word Yirah, which is the Strong's number 3384, which means to teach, to instruct, to point out as aiming the finger. Torah means the teaching or instruction of the God of Israel. It is likened to a father who instructs and teaches their children regarding the correct way to live their life. And Yeshua in Hebrew means salvation. Therefore, when we think about salvation, we need to think about Yeshua. When we think about how we are to live our lives through the salvation that Yeshua provides for us by shedding his blood on the tree, then we need to think about the Torah, which is also synonymous with the Word of God, or keeping the commandments of God, as Yeshua said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So, in this teaching regarding grace and mercy in the Bible, we are going to first firmly establish that the Bible teaches that we are saved by grace through faith, and this is the way in which the God of Israel brought his people out of Egypt. In Exodus, in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it is written, "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he, Pharaoh, will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it will come to pass that when you go, you shall not go or leave Egypt empty." And the word favor is the Hebrew word chen. It is the Strong's number 2580. And it's the Hebrew word for grace. So the grace of the God of Israel was present to bring his people out of Egypt. But was grace alone enough to save and deliver his people from Egyptian bondage? And the answer is no. It also required faith. And what was the faith that the God of Israel wanted his people to demonstrate? It was putting the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. In Exodus, in chapter 12, in verses 3 and 7, it is written, "Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month," that is the first month of the biblical year, "they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So from this, we can see that the way that the Messiah of Israel, even Yeshua HaMashiach, saved or delivered his people out of Egypt, because we're told in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 4 that Yeshua is the rock that was with the children of Israel in the wilderness, that he delivered them, he redeemed them by his grace when they demonstrated faith in his instructions. Therefore, salvation by grace through faith is not a unique biblical understanding that came about from the death of Yeshua on the tree, but it was consistent with the way in which the God of Israel brings his people into covenant and personal relationship with him. So, In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it is written, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, realizing that the way in which the Messiah of Israel redeemed or delivered his people out of Egyptian bondage was by grace through faith, after they were saved by grace through faith, then they came to Mount Sinai, and at Mount Sinai they were given commandments regarding how they were to live their lives on a daily basis to please the one who brought them out of Egypt and who entered into covenant relationship with them. In Romans, in chapter 3, verse 20 and 28, we can also see that salvation is by faith and not by trusting in our own deeds, our own merit, our own ways, independent of the redemptive work of the Messiah. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the Torah shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Romans chapter 3, verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the Torah." We can see how salvation is by faith and not by trusting in the deeds of the Torah from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the Torah, but by the faith of Yeshua HaMashiach, for by the works of the Torah shall no flesh be justified." Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the Torah in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." This is a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 4. In Philippians chapter 3 in verse 9, it is written, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Messiah, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Just as the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt by grace through faith, and then they came to Mount Sinai and were given commandments regarding how they were to live their lives as a saved or redeemed people on a daily basis, after we read in Ephesians in chapter 2 in verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It then goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, "We are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." So we are to walk in good works, or live our lives according to following the Torah and the commandments, after we're saved by grace through faith. And this is what Paul also explains in Romans in chapter 3, where he says first in Romans chapter 3 verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the Torah." And now Paul asks this question in Romans chapter 3 verse 31. "Do we make void the Torah through faith?" Make void means to do away with. "Do we do away with the Torah," meaning not follow the Torah, "because we are saved by grace through faith?" Paul answers the question and he says, "God forbid. We establish the Torah." We establish the Torah after we are saved by grace through faith. That's because, biblically speaking, Torah and the Word of God are synonymous terms. The Torah is the teaching or the instruction of the God of Israel. At the end of Isaiah in chapter 2 and verse 3, it is written, "For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." This is Hebrew parallelism, wherein Zion and Jerusalem are synonymous terms, and the Torah and the Word of the Lord are synonymous terms. Therefore, the Torah is from Genesis to Revelation, because from Genesis to Revelation is the teaching or the instruction or the word of the God of Israel. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Yeshua said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." When he was saying these words, he was making a link or a reference or an association in the mind of his audience to Exodus in chapter 20 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 20 is the chapter on the giving of the Ten Commandments. And the one speaking in Exodus in chapter 20 and verse 6 is Yahweh Elohim, who brought his people out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. And he says, "Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So Yahweh Elohim, who brought his people out of Egypt, is the one who shows mercy to those that love him and keep his commandments. So when Yeshua said in John chapter 14 verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments," in making the link or the association back to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6, he was also saying by context of Exodus chapter 20 that he is Yahweh Elohim, that he brought his people out of Egypt, and he did it by mercy, and you love him by keeping his commandments. In Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18, we can see that the mercy of the God of Israel is everlasting, as it is written. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments and do them. Now, in traditional Christianity, we have this teaching that following the death of Yeshua on the tree is when we inaugurated this period of time known as the Age of Grace. But as we see from Psalm 103, verse 17, the grace or the mercy of the God of Israel is eternal. It is because it's a characteristic of the God of Israel himself. And he shows his mercy to those that love him, to those that keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments, and those who seek to follow his Torah. In Psalm 119, verse 29, it is written, "Grant me your Torah graciously." In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, it is written, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the Torah of kindness." Following Torah is righteousness, meaning the right way that we are to live our lives. Deuteronomy in chapter 4, verse 8, it is written, "In what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this Torah which I set before you this day?" Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, "And it shall be our righteousness," or the right way that we are to live our life and be in right standing with the God of Israel and loving him and keeping his covenant, "if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." In Romans in chapter 2 in verse 13, Paul explains that it is those who follow the Torah who will be justified before the God of Israel, as it is written, "For not the hearers of the Torah are just before God, but the doers of the Torah shall be justified." Next, we're going to look at two Hebrew words for grace and mercy. And the first is the Hebrew word chen, and is the Strong's number 2580, in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary. And the next Hebrew word is chesed, which is the Strong's number 2617 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary. Now, the corresponding Greek words for the Hebrew words chen and chesed, the corresponding Greek word for chen, which means grace, is charis, and it is the Strong's number 5485 in the Strong's Greek Dictionary. The corresponding Greek word for the Hebrew word chesed is the Greek word ilios, which is the Strong's word 1656 in the Strong's Greek Dictionary. So, given that we have the association between the Hebrew and Greek words that mean grace and mercy, we are now going to go through primarily the Hebrew scriptures, and we are going to see what the Hebrew scriptures has to say about the grace or the mercy of the God of Israel. In doing so, we need to understand that grace or mercy is a characteristic of the God of Israel himself. And because he has always existed, his grace or his mercy has always existed. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, it is written, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh, which exercises chesed," or the King James says, loving kindness. We can see how the God of Israel is an Elohim of grace and mercy from Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. "O praise Yahweh, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his chesed, his merciful kindness, is great toward us." Once again, we need to understand that the grace or the mercy of the God of Israel is a characteristic of himself, and as a result, is eternal and everlasting. Psalm 103, verses 17 and 18. "But the chesed, the mercy of the Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8, it is written, "In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness," or chesed, "will I have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer." Well, who is the Lord our Redeemer? It is Yeshua the Messiah. Now we're going to walk through the Hebrew scriptures, beginning with the Torah, and we're going to see how grace is eternal and everlasting. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, we see that Noah found grace in the eyes of the God of Israel, as it is written, "But Noah found grace," this is the Hebrew word chen, "in the eyes of the Lord." Joseph found grace, Genesis chapter 39, verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him chesed, mercy, and gave him favor," or chen, "in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Moses, in having dialogue with the God of Israel, says, "If you have called me for the job or the task of leading your people out of Egypt, I need your grace or your mercy to do it. Because if you don't give unto me your grace and your mercy, I cannot and will not do the job." This conversation between the God of Israel in Moses is found in Exodus chapter 33. In verse 12, it is written, Moses said unto the Lord, See, you say unto me, Bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you also have found chen, or grace, in my sight. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found chen, grace, in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I might find chen, or grace, in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Verses 14 through 16. And he said, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said unto him, If your presence does not go with me, carry us not from here. For wherein shall it be known here that I and your people have found chen, grace, in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. Then continuing in Exodus chapter 33, verse 17, And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found chen, grace, in my sight, and I know you by name. We are told in Psalm 136 that the heavens and the earth were created by the chesed, the mercy of the God of Israel. Psalm 136, verses 6, 8, and 9, it is written, To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his chesed, his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. Israel was redeemed out of Egypt by the grace or the mercy of the God of Israel, as we saw earlier in the teaching. Exodus chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he, Pharaoh, will let you go. And I will give this people favor or chen in the sight of the Egyptians, and you will not go out empty. The firstborn were redeemed by the chesed, the mercy of the God of Israel. Psalm 136, verses 10 and 11. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. Israel crossed the Red Sea by the grace or the mercy of the God of Israel. Psalm 136, verse 13. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his chesed, his mercy, endures forever. The children of Israel were led through the wilderness by the mercy of Yeshua. Psalm 136, verse 16. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. Then the children of Israel defeated their enemies in the promised land by the mercy of Yeshua. Psalm 136, verse 17 and verse 21. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. Now, we are told in Psalm chapter 44, verses 2 and 3, that the way in which the children of Israel defeated their enemies in the promised land, it was by the right hand or the arm of the God of Israel. And this is a term for Yeshua the Messiah. He is the arm of the Lord, from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, which says, Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In Psalm chapter 44, verses 2 and 3, it is written, how you did drive out the heathen with your hand and planted them, how you did afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because you had favor unto them. The house of Judah was preserved in Babylonian captivity and returned to the land of Israel and rebuilt the temple by the grace or the mercy of the God of Israel. In Ezra chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, it is written, since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant, to escape, and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Now, Ezra chapter 9, verse 9, for we were bondmen, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage, but has extended chesed, mercy, unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. David's sins were forgiven by the chesed, the mercy of the God of Israel. Psalm chapter 25, verses 6 and 7, it is written, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your chesed, your loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your chesed, according to your mercy, remember thou me for your goodness sake, O Lord. We can see how David's sins were forgiven by the chesed, the mercy of the God of Israel, in Psalm 51, verse 1, which is a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had committed his sin with Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your chesed, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And finally, the God of Israel is in covenant relationship. He's married to his people through his grace and his mercy. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19, it is written, and I will betroth you unto me forever. Yes, I will betroth you unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in chesed, in loving kindness, and in mercies. So let's summarize what we've covered in this teaching, looking at what the Bible, and more specifically the Hebrew scriptures and the Torah, has to say about the subject of grace and mercy. First of all, we saw that the way in which the God of Israel redeemed his people out of Egypt was by grace through faith. And after he redeemed them by grace through faith, then they came to Mount Sinai, where they were given instruction regarding how they were to live their lives on a daily basis as a people in covenant relationship with the God of Israel. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where it says that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is not a unique doctrine that came about from the death of Yeshua on the tree. It is a doctrine that the New Testament affirms is so from the way in which Yeshua redeemed or delivered his people out of Egypt. And it goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And then Paul, after stating that both Jew and non-Jew are saved by grace through faith without the deeds of the Torah, Romans chapter 3 verse 28, he asks the question in Romans chapter 3 verse 31, do we make void, that means to do away with the Torah, because we're saved by grace through faith? And in answering the question, he says, God forbid, we establish the Torah. So furthermore, in the teaching, we learned that grace or mercy is a characteristic of Yahweh himself. And since Yahweh has always existed, his grace or his mercy has always existed, and therefore his grace or his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. The death of Yeshua on the tree to provide us forgiveness of sins through his shed blood when we repent of our sins and accept him as our Lord and Savior is the greatest expression of the grace or mercy of the God of Israel. But the death of Yeshua on the tree did not begin the grace or the mercy of the God of Israel in this world or upon his people. That is because Noah found grace in the eyes of the God of Israel. Joseph found favor, or the grace of the God of Israel was upon him. Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, told the God of Israel that if your grace or mercy does not go with me, don't ask me to continue the job. But the God of Israel responded by saying, my grace will be with you in leading the children of Israel. And then we saw that David pleaded and asked for forgiveness of his sins through the grace or the mercy of the God of Israel. Then, in looking at Psalm 136, we saw that the heavens and the earth were created by the mercy of the God of Israel, and he redeemed his people from Egyptian bondage by his mercy. Israel crossed the Red Sea by the mercy of the God of Israel, and he led his people through the wilderness by his grace or his mercy. And he defeated the enemies of the children of Israel in the promised land by his grace or his mercy. And the one that did this is the right hand or the right arm. Psalm chapter 44 verses 2 and 3. Who is Yeshua? Isaiah in chapter 53 in verse 1. When the God of Israel brought his people back from Babylonian captivity and led them to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, he preserved them in their captivity and allowed them to build his temple, as we're told in Ezra chapter 9 verses 7 through 9, by his grace or his mercy. And then in Hosea chapter 2, we see that the God of Israel is betrothed, or he is in covenant relationship or married to his people through and by his grace or his mercy being with them and upon them. So this is going to conclude this week's teaching on understanding the grace and the mercy of the God of Israel. And remember that Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. And if these teachings are a blessing to you, we would encourage you to be a partner with Hebraic Heritage Ministries. You can support the ministry by writing to the ministry address, Hebraic Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio. Strasburg is spelled S-T-R-A-S-B-U-R-G. The zip code is 44680. And Hebraic Heritage Ministries has an extensive website to help you to learn and study the Hebraic roots of Christianity. And at the website, we have various tabs where we categorize different subjects of your learning. And by clicking on that particular subject of learning, you will find that there are various written articles, audio, and video teachings to help you to understand that subject of the Hebraic roots of Christianity. In addition, Hebraic Heritage Ministries has a web store where we provide for you many materials in studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity, including audio CDs, DVDs, and a variety of books. Now, remember always these words from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says that he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk, which means how we live our lives, even as he walked. And how did Yeshua walk? He kept the Torah of his Father. Even so, he instructed us in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.